Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug Mallard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
I'm so excited for San Antonio this weekend.
Yeah.
We're doing two shows. The Doug Loves Movies taping on Saturday, August 7th at 4:20. And you're going to be one of the guests, one of the amazing movie knowledgeable people on the panel.
Yeah.
And we're doing a stand-up show on Sunday, August 8th, also at 4:20. Both shows, LOL Comedy Club. And on Sunday, this is so exciting. I hope to do more of this. Every Doug, if you've got a picture ID and it says Doug on it, you can get in for free.
Calling so all Dougs.
Yeah, so Doug Mallard, you get in for free. You don't have to pay.
Okay, cool.
For once, you don't have to pay to do stand-up. And then, they just have to prove their name's Doug. And I'll even go as far to say if Doug is anywhere in their name at this point. I feel like not too many Dougs are in the San Antonio area. I could be wrong. I mean, Dougs that are also a fan of my podcasts and comedy and would want to come to the show would want to also still have to pony up for the two item minimum. So it's a lot to ask a Doug. So we'll see. We'll see if any Dougs take us up on it. But at middle name, last name, first name, just D-O-U-G, anywhere in your name, and you're good to go. For more deets about the shows, if you're not a Doug, go to douglovesmovies.com. Our guest today is the father of twins who might start screaming in the background. He's a comedian, an actor. He's been on staff at The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon for a minute, and he's toured with The Roots.
Whoa.
Like, he opens for The Roots sometimes.
Good God.
Yeah. His name is Seth Herzog. Let's go to work. Hey. Hello, Seth Herzog.
Hey, Dougs. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Have you met Doug Mallard before?
I have not met Doug Mallard, but I'm a huge fan of everything he's about.
Well, that's good. Were you, let's quickly ask Doug Mallard, yeah, were you familiar with Seth before I told you he was going to be a guest?
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to have you, man. Thanks for being on.
That was the most low energy, possibly a lie. Yes, of course, I've ever heard.
It's funny you say that because it sounded to me like one of the most sincere things I've ever heard Doug say.
Really? That was the most sincere thing ever?
Oh, yeah. He was really committed to that. And I was like proud of him. And then you pointed out how
deeply insincere it felt.
But I do believe him, and we do appreciate you being here.
Of course.
It's, an interview show, but also heavily focused on names and the effects that they have on the people that have them, the people that give them, et cetera. But before we get to your name, how's it going in general?
In general, things are okay. I mean, the city has me worried about catching the Delta variant everywhere I go. Yeah. That's all I
hear
about.
You're on the East Coast.
I'm in New York City, and everyone's worrying about, that's all anyone's talking about. And everyone who's, vaxxed, some people are testing positive, and So I stopped licking faces today. Today was my day to stop licking.
Oh, okay. Finally.
Yep. I feel like you have to quit eventually, and I'm going to get forced to quit. So this is it.
I'm glad to hear it. And how old are the twins now?
I have twin girls. They are 2 years and about 8 months yesterday, or the day before. Yeah. They are really hilarious. They are, you know what? They're love music, and they're lately obsessed with post Beatles, John and Yoko period.
Oh, I mean,
that's their thing now.
You had to introduce it to them. They didn't find that on their own.
No, it's just, we live on 72nd Street over here, right? So not too far from the Dakota. And my wife was explaining how Yoko Ono lives there. And then they started showing videos of Yoko Ono. Now it's all they want to listen to.
Oh, John, I see.
John and like Yoko stuff.
That's wild. And, you know, it's never too early to teach them about a murder and how it happened right there in front of that building.
We didn't bring up that yet. I think they still think John's alive. I haven't broken the news to them yet.
when you tell them the news, when they're of the right age, show them a picture of Yoko and John naked together while you tell them the news.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? And there's so many videos on YouTube of John and Yoko, but they all use the same footage from all their songs together. It's like there's only so much footage of them from that period. So there's a footage of them asleep in the back of like the white Rolls. And for some reason, the girls love them asleep in the car. They're like, show us asleep in the car. We want to see them sleeping in the car. Why is that the piece of footage that you care the most about? And they're also into space because they've listened to David Bowie and Space Oddity.
Oh, cool.
There's a video that someone put together of the Apollo 11 launch and moonwalk to Space Oddity. And they love that video. And now they really want to hang out with Buzz Aldrin. They don't care about Neil Armstrong. They think he's a putz. They really want to hang out with Buzz Armstrong.
Well, he's got a cooler name.
He's got a cooler name. He seems like he's a tough guy and they like him.
I think maybe do the kids instinctively maybe know that, because I assume living in New York City, you didn't do the thing where you drive them around in a car to get them to fall asleep.
No, I had to vibrate them on my legs.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? That's a typical thing in the, you know, out in the suburbs and stuff is that you just drive the kid around. So maybe the sleeping in the car without having experienced it, they still know how delightful it is.
They definitely love being in a car. We do have a car and we drive them around and they fall asleep whether we like it or not. You know, wherever we're going, they're asleep in the car every single time. They sort of like have a love-hate relationship with the car, to be perfectly honest with you, because they're beginning car sick lately and they don't like throwing up, but they throw up a lot. So we're always like, we're going to get in the car and drive to Jersey. And they're like, no, I don't want to throw up. I don't like throwing up. So that's, they have to fight the urge not to puke.
You should do a rewrite of the Toys R Us song because the song says, I don't want to grow up. And you can just change it to throw up and you're good to go.
They should do that. We did fly them to New Mexico over the summer. And between the time we left our house to the time we got to where we were going, between the two of them, they threw up 9 times collectively.
Oh, my God.
One of them's
a real lightweight in the throwing up department.
Yeah. One of them threw up 9 times. They threw up so many times on the plane that we had to bring 4 changes of clothes and we used them all. And we had to bring our own change of clothes. And I find myself completely changing pants and shirt in my seat in front of everybody. Wow. You know, so everyone got a real show.
Are you excited? Are you excited about never having any more kids that are this age?
You know, it's funny. We've been thinking about that. Like, I'll miss it and won't miss it. There'll be parts I'll miss and parts I definitely will not miss. That's
because you think you're good. You think you're good as far as kids.
I think it has to do with space and money, less to do with like having to deal again.
Right.
You know, there's like so many other factors. But I mean, look, if one showed up, would I tell it had to go? No. Would I kick it out of the house? Like, I've done this. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Adopt yourself somewhere. here's the adoption papers. Fill it out. I don't know. I probably done, but we don't know. You never know, man.
What are their names?
Kieran and Sivan. Kiran and Sivan. And their personalities are widely different. And they it's amazing how they do listen to everything you say, like to the point where I'll forget anyone said anything, a phrase. Like one of them came up to me the other day and knew they were saying something controversial. And she goes, "I got my boobs done." And I was like, "Who told you that phrase? I've never said that phrase in my life. Where did you learn it?" And she's laughing, just laughing her ass off because she knew she said something, you know, that was like, that would cause a shock.
Not a yeah.
And I said to her, "Well, you should sue that doctor because they did a terrible job."
Did she get it?
She did not get that part of the joke. No.
Now, why give, what's the, you know, what are their origin stories as far as the name go, the names go, because they are unusual names. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is we thought we were going to have a boy and a girl. I had no idea what the sexes were going to be till they arrived, but I just guessed it was going to be a boy and a girl. And then when they first popped out, they showed me who was first. Kieran was first. And then they showed me another one. And I was like, it was a girl again. I was like, you showed me that one already. Show me the second one.
Yeah, I don't need to see the dickless one again.
Yeah, I've seen the girl already. They're like, this is the second one. They're like, ah. So the names, we thought we were going to name the boy Sid, like Sydney. Mm-hmm. And then we had several days in the hospital to sort of think it over. And my wife did a bunch of research and she looked up Sivan as like it's a Hebrew word for seven and it has a lot of Hebrew origins. And we just thought it was a cool word, you know, it's just like a neat, it's a last name for a lot of people, but no one uses it as a first name, but it's a pretty popular last name. So we just pitched around a lot of names and she just thought of that. And I thought it was great. And Karen is actually a boy's name in India and she liked it for a girl. And my mom's name is Kira, K-E-R-A. So we just thought it was kind of fun to sort of like, she was just loved the name and it's kind of half named after my mom. So we went with that one.
We used to have a theory on this show, mm-hmm. us Dougs, that like, you know, unusual names help to create unusual people, like people that are more likely to stand out in other ways because they already stand out.
I agree. Like, and I was obsessed with names as a younger person. Like I always thought like names that were slightly off were the best, not too off so that people have to be like explained what they are or how to spell it, but slightly uncommon were like just the best kind of like window to be in. If I had a boy, I always wanted to name it Shane. You know, I thought Shane was kind of a cool name, not too popular, but you know what it is, but you don't know that many. And I mentioned that to my brother and my brother named his son Shane. He stole it.
Rip off.
I was actually kind of furious. I was like, "You stole my name." I was like, "Yeah, I thought it was a good idea."
That's like George Costanza gets mad about that.
Yeah, seven, which is actually funny because Sivan is kind of seven.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I thought of that twice now. I definitely flashed on that when you said Sivan.
Exactly. So we sort of assembled two things because what's hilarious about that is my wife doesn't like Seinfeld, the show. She's like one of the few people in the world. It's like, I don't think it's funny. I don't get it.
Oh, wow.
I think Jerry's a terrible actor. I don't like watching him. And so she's never seen any of the episodes. So as a side note, it's just funny. You don't realize how much that show comes up in regular conversation in life with someone who doesn't know any of the references. And then you're at dinner or any conversation and someone makes like a joke about you, no soup for you. And I always have to say, she doesn't get that. You know? Like people just say that in conversation all the time, stuff like that. And I'm like, you don't understand. She doesn't understand what you're talking about.
I mean, she's got to know when Festivus is.
Doesn't understand what Festivus is. I have to explain
that. She just to know when it is.
Yeah, she knows when it is.
Every year.
Yes. But she had never, but she said to me early on, she goes, "I think we should name the kid Seven." I started laughing. And I was like, I thought you didn't know Seinfeld. She goes, "I don't." I was like, "But that's a whole episode." She goes, "What are you talking about?" So I had to explain to her there was a whole episode of she wanted to name the kid Seven. And so anyway, that ended up being a thing that she was really into and had never seen the show. Anyway.
If you go with Seinfeld names, I would name a kid Spectacular.
If you're just referencing things from the show. I think no matter what.
Boobs you, in the fake boobs,
right?
Episode.
Right. They're yeah. spectacular. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Or just name your kid Bob's Sacamana.
Yeah. What's the? They also had another fake name they used to get the limousine that one time. Oh man, I can't remember what it is.
Oh, was it the one where they take the limo to the speech?
Yeah, and they just keep saying that they keep having to insist that they're this person. They say right. the name over and over again, and it right. sounds like a rich person. You know?
I believe it's O'Brien.
Oh, O'Brien. I'm not O'Brien.
Oh,
O'Brien.
Yeah, right. yeah.
Right.
Well, now that's I'm thinking so of a completely different one where George makes up a name for himself. He makes up like a persona, and well, it's got
Art,
a name.
Art Vandelay.
Mandalay. Right. Vandelay. Yeah, that's it.
Vandelay. Yeah.
Industries, you know?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
want to be my latex salesman.
Yeah. Well, this is going great so far.
No, but anyway, what I was going to talk about.
Go ahead.
Was that my first real like woman I was like in love with in college was named Knight with a K.
Oh,
and that was part of the thing that like, she was gorgeous, but I was like, part of the thing that like brought me under the spell was like, her name is Knight with a K. Wow. You gotta be kidding. Like, and I was obsessed with like girls with like cool names. There was another girl I knew in high school named Keith, and she was like gorgeous and named Keith. And I was like, there's nothing sexier than that. You know, hot girl named Keith. Come on.
For a confused young man like yourself.
Exactly. I just thought like beautiful girls with like guy names or interesting names. There was like nothing hotter than that.
Daryl Hannah. That's such a
Daryl Hannah is another one. Yeah.
Beautiful woman, and her name is Daryl.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real, you're taking a real stab there though, because you give your kid like a, you know, you give him a name that seems like it's for the opposite sex. You just don't know what they're going to look like, you know, when they get, you know, and if they,
right.
If they're not gorgeous, then it's, you know, extra it's wasted hard on them.
Yeah.
Or it's extra hard on them. Cause yep. it just sort of like makes them seem like they're gay or something, you know, or that, you know, or like they just chose the name themselves or something.
Yeah. But anyway, so, but it works out if it works for you, you know?
Yes, exactly. But that's what's crazy about names is that they're given when you, at the point where you know as little about the person.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't even know what they are going to claim to be when they get to an age where they get to decide, you know?
But do you think they grow into the name?
I don't know. We don't know if it's, you know, it's like nature or nurture.
Yeah.
You know, chicken or the egg. It's just sort of like, but I just feel that we're discovering that there's less Dougs in exciting areas. you know, like there are some for sure, but the ones that are there, I think they like tried to rise above their boring name.
You think Doug is a boring name is where you're coming at.
Not as much boring as it just, it's uninspiring.
It's no, yeah.
It's never like, oh my God, thank God Doug is here.
I had a dinner with a Doug on Monday night, who I'd never really met before, but he's an interesting guy. He's a CEO of this like tech startup in town here. He's 35 and he's very smart, but he's also very quiet and kind of subdued. Yeah. Like his energy is very low, but he's very smart. And he has like,
yeah.
kind of, he has a lot to say, but like, he's not the life of the party, you know?
There's no high energy Dougs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. what do you think the most pinnacle Doug is? Like the Doug everyone looks up to, like they're like, well, I want that Doug.
It's part of my line of questioning in this first half of the show mm-hmm. every week. I was going to ask you, like mm-hmm. we ask everybody, have you met First Gentleman Douglas Emhoff?
No, I've not met him.
But you probably will, right? Doesn't everybody roll through Fallon?
Yeah. Everyone's going to show up. If I go out of my way, here's the thing. It depends when what's her name, the Vice President Kamala, she comes or not shows up. Because right now they can't really bring many people. Like,
oh, sure.
Really strict. Like, you can't, like, if you're a guest, you bring like two people maybe at the most.
Well, that's why I'm thinking Doug's going to be one of them.
He's
also a potential guest. Wouldn't they be interested in talking to him?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's
the first gentleman in history. He's the first guy that has to be like, yeah, I'm just married to her.
I got to be honest with you.
I'll try to chip in if I can.
I feel like that's, I mean, I'm just going to hang out and maybe go to parties. Like, that's kind of his thing. Like, I'll show up to a lot of parties.
Yeah, he's very accepting of it. There was a movie made back in, like, the 60s where Fred McMurray becomes the first gentleman. His wife becomes president.
Right.
And all the stuff they want him to do is so belittling and just stuff that a woman... you know, supposedly want to do that. It's just this story of a man who's insanely bitter about being married to the most powerful person in the world.
That's so funny. Or is it a story about how they realize being the first lady is kind of a stupid job, but you never know it till you see it through the eyes of a man?
Yeah, but I don't know. He resists everything so severely that it, in such a sexist way, that it's a very off-putting and long ass movie.
I'm sure.
It's supposed to be funny that he doesn't want to decorate the White House, but it's like, yeah, we get it. He's a man. He doesn't know anything about decorating. He doesn't want to do it.
Right. But that joke ends after 5 to 10 minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
At most. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, who's the boss?
Yeah.
I mean, we're already done laughing at Doug Emhoff. Like, nobody belittles him for being, you know, just being married to the vice president.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's a doctor. He has, like, his own job, doesn't he?
I guess so.
He's a lawyer of some.
Yeah, I think he's a doctor. He'd call him Dr. Doug if he was a doctor.
I think if he was hawking a book, we'd have him on the show. I feel like to, like, ask about what's it like being the vice president's husband, I don't think that's enough to sustain. I feel like if I hit a book or something, then they'd probably have him on.
Right. But also if somebody wants to, like, you know, try to pump up Kamala's approval numbers, appearances by him in big place, you know, in good places could be helpful.
Yeah. Can soften the image with the name Doug, you know, throw a Doug.
Yeah. Really gonna help Doug's. But I don't think he's the, but I don't think he's pinnacle Doug in terms of, like, the personality. I think he is as generic a Doug as you're going to find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. He doesn't necessarily pop, but he also doesn't, you know, he seems pleasant, you know?
He seems like a pleasant, nice guy, like a dad. Yeah. He's like a real dad.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even think about what kind of jokes he makes. I mean, in his Twitter is kind of lighthearted, but anyway, if you ever run into him, just, I know you might want to take the time to tell him about your daughters or something, like, personal.
I'm going to tell him about he's got to get on World of Dougs.
Yeah. If you could just say, do Wide World of Dougs, we would appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. I mean, you could probably get in touch with him pretty easily.
You think so?
I bet he's not hard to get in touch with.
Well, we've been talking about it for a year now and nothing's happened. So he definitely doesn't listen to the podcast.
You know what's interesting? I was actually yesterday, I was on Instagram and I was shocked how many different Seth Herzogs there were. Seth, but people with my first and last name. There's like six of them.
Because both those names to me, if you say a Seth or Herzog common, well, I know a couple of each, but I don't, you know, I don't think they're that common. It's surprising.
Yeah. And there's more. And I know for a fact, there's more than the ones that are just listed on Instagram. Cause I know there's a white rapper in Kentucky named Seth Herzog. There's a kid there's a guy who got arrested for bank robbery in Michigan. There's a kid who died like 20 years ago in an airplane crash. There's like a bunch. Oh, wow. Plus there are these new ones that I'm seeing online.
Maybe Wide World of Seth Herzogs would be a good
That's right. But I was thinking, if we got us together, would there be common traits that we've grown into as walking around with this name? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Doug and I have too many common traits other than, you know, stand-up comedy.
Yeah, we're goofballs.
And being goofballs. What are the other Dougs in your life, Seth? Do you have any close Dougs to you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who the closest Dougs.
He sounds calm.
There's a guy, the most,
I think if you live Doug, in New York, yeah. I think if you're a New Yorker, you know a lot more Dougs than anybody else anywhere else in the country. I feel like you just know more people.
There's just people
in general just living there, you know?
There's a guy, it's funny, who I would been friends with for years. He has had a lot of different jobs. He's a little dude with glasses. Doug Friedmutter is his last name. And he was just, I knew his wife, and he's just a really funny little guy. You know, he's hilarious. He's very creative, and he's a professional poker player now. This is how he makes his money.
Yeah, see, all of that is because he was saddled with that fucking name, Doug. What was the last name again?
Friedmutter.
Doug Friedmutter. Like, that is like, put that in a script. That's the character that walks in, and everybody doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's the kid eating glue. Yeah. But he's a really interesting cat. In fact, even if you, but what's really funny is, so I've had him in the early days of Sweet, my show that was like weekly comedy show. I had him doing little bits and sketches. He's just like, not a particular like a stand up or an actor, but he's just a funny guy. And when I was first dating Heatha, who became my wife, I had Doug Friedmutter on to do a bit where he was playing Soy Bomb. He was doing like a spoof of like Michael Portnoy's thing.
From the Grammys during Bob Dylan.
Exactly. So we did a little spoof of that. And then my wife was like, is that Doug Friedmutter who was in that sketch? I was like, yeah, you know him. He goes, that was my boyfriend for years. And what's funny is he's such an interesting guy. Like, he dated my wife early on. He left her for the woman who ended up being his wife. He's now living with this other woman upstate who's really beautiful. Like, he does very well.
So he's living now with your next wife, do you think?
Yes, I think so. I think so. On a farm upstate. So he lives on some farm upstate now, and he just plays poker from home all day.
that's the wildest thing about professional poker is how it's just become like something you just do at home. But also, I like to think that most professional poker players get some fun out of playing poker in person with other poker players. So like the thing online is just like, you're just like a robot just going through the motions and just making tons of money, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's figured it out how to, you know, he goes like, as everyone who's a professional poker player, I was talking to him about it. He goes, he has big losses and then big gains and big losses, and big gains. So like, how much money are you really making if like, you're kind of evening out?
Yeah, that's what they do. That's why professional poker players can just take such huge risks and be like scary to play against, because you don't know when they're making a huge bluff, because they're so fucking rich they can bluff, they don't care, like, you know, or maybe not rich, but they're just, you know, they're cash fluid because they know how to play poker.
Right, so they're used to losing $20,000 on a hand because they'll make another $20,000 the next hand.
Yeah. Not being upset about it. It's not chess. You know, it's not like where they have to win every single hand, every game. They know that losing's part of it because luck is a factor no matter what.
Yep.
You know?
And if you just stay in the game long enough and you know what you're doing and you can play the player, you can make more cash, you know?
Yes. Have you ever known or worked with or interacted with Doug Herzog?
You know what's so funny? Yes, we've become friends. And you should have him on the show. He's a great guy. I didn't really know who he was until later in my career. But when I was young and I moved to New York, I sort of knew Jon Stewart a little bit through the State guys. And we kind of grew up in the same town. And he had a talk show, but before The Daily Show, remember, he had like a talk show, the Jon Stewart Show.
Yeah.
And I went to a taping. It was on MTV. And Doug Herzog was a president of MTV at the time.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. And I show up and I have my name on the list to go to the taping of the Jon Stewart Show. And they took me out of the line, like brought me in first, gave me a special seat, brought me water. And I'm like, these people know talent when they see it. They thought I was like Doug Herzog's kid or brother or something like that.
They can't take a chance that you're not.
Yeah.
They gotta treat you nice.
It wasn't until later after the taping, I was like, oh, they thought I was that guy's relative. Okay, I get it now. But anyway, so over the years we've met and been introduced because everyone thinks we're related. As my sort of career got, you know, people got know me, everyone thinks I was related to him. And then we'd met at several Comedy Central tapings, and we've talked and talked, and now we email each other a fair amount about stuff. But yeah, so we've become buddies.
What's he, do you know where he's at now?
He's in Jersey. He's retired. I think he's retired.
Retired?
Well, he left Comedy Central a few years ago.
Yeah, and then he was one of the guys at Quibi.
Oh, he was at Quibi, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing right now in terms
okay.
of, I think he's just hanging out at home with his kids, planning his next move.
Good for him.
Yeah, I'll email him and tell him I was on the show and that he should do it if you're interested.
I know him and I think that he would do the show if I asked him. I just haven't asked yet because it's, you know, we haven't really interviewed anybody that's not in comedy for the most part. I mean, I know he's a funny guy and that he knows a lot about comedy, but like we have comedians on, you know, so it's like, so we could just be silly.
Right.
And I still have too much, like, to me, he's almost like, you know how, like, I don't know about you, but like, I never act too weird or do anything. I just like shut down around law enforcement and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, any kind of authority figures and stuff. And like him being president of MTV when I was like a lowly comedian trying to get on MTV and you know, just, he's still that guy to me, even though over the years he's been really nice and he says he's a fan and he's, you know, he's cool. And he was even like at Quibi, we went to him to be like, hey, my show High Court isn't on Comedy Central anymore.
Right.
It seems perfect. It was perfect for Quibi.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, too bad we already have Chrissy Teigen doing a judge show. So like that's all. But other than that, Doug seems, you know, like he would have done it if they didn't already have a judge show.
Probably.
So,
yeah.
So he's super cool. And you're right. We should just have him on.
Just have him on.
But you'll find out later on in the show why, another reason why I'm reticent to have him on.
Okay. Is there a section called Doug Herzog Sucks? And here's why.
No, you just have to experience the whole thing before you find out.
Okay.
And even then you might disagree with me. You might be like, oh, he would have been fine with that. Yeah. But have you played lots of, you know, wacky characters in movies and TV shows and videos and skits. Have you ever played a character named Doug? And how bad did that feel?
I've played a Harold, which was like a Doug-esque character.
I've played a Harold too. Yeah. Doug was cast as a Harold.
The Harold, yeah. I definitely played this nerdy guy named Harold in the movie In the Weeds, who was getting engaged. And I read this long poem and then the ring's supposed to be in the dessert, but the ring gets stolen by one of the waiters. It's a whole plot. Anyway.
Did you like suggest that it should have been named Doug?
Yeah, I did. I really pitched that hard that it should have been named Doug. I will say this though. Molly Ringwald was in that film and they had in the script, I have a lot of lines because they kept throughout the night of in this restaurant, they keep cutting back to me and I keep reading the poem every time they cut back to me as time goes on and they were going to cut a lot of it. But then Molly Ringwald was like, let's keep all of it in. It's funny. Because I wrote more lines. I kept writing funnier lines for the poem. And she, to her credit, she made the director and producer keep them all in the film.
What's the film called?
In the Weeds.
And it stars Molly Ringwald.
Well, she was like the name at the time. But Ellen Pompeo is really the lead. And Josh Leonard and Bridget Moynihan. And a bunch of other people.
I don't think I've seen this movie. I think I need to check it out.
Decent part. Yeah, Peter Riegert's in it.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he was my neighbor upstairs for a while. He just left the building.
Oh, like Elvis?
Like Elvis, yeah. I'm trying to think if I claimed, I have to go through all this.
Die on the toilet?
Peter Riegert died on the toilet, and that's what we say in this building, is that he's left
the building. Yeah, you just say he left the building.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because my wife had no idea who he was, Peter Riegert, and I had worked with him on this film, but this is now years later, I'm moved into this building. I'm in the gym and he comes down to the gym and I'm freaked out. I'm like totally freaked out. Peter Riegert's in the gym and like, I can't talk to him. And my wife meets him in the lobby and it's like, hi, I'm Heath. How are you? What's your name? Oh, that's so cool. And they strike up a conversation. I'm like, you can't just to go up and talk to Peter Riegert. What are you doing? So she doesn't know. She had no fear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anybody said to me that person over there is a celebrity and I had no idea who they are, I think that totally removes, I'd be happy to go talk to them and not the, who are you question or, you know, the shit like that, that you get sometimes where like somebody from the group has to come over and ask. That's one thing that's sort of improved celebrity relations with everybody having the internet in their hand. So they don't have to come over and go, who are you? They can just look it up.
Real
they
fast.
They can look it up and act like you're not noticing that they're looking up who you are.
I've done that with people. I've done that with people who like, not necessarily celebrities, but people, friends I'm at a dinner with, and they're like, oh, I was in this movie, da da da. And I will look up their film on my phone to see like if it's real, who's in it, da 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 da. You know? And I've noticed some people have a different name on the IMDb than the name they just told me. And then like I'd be embarrassed. Sometimes I'd be like, so if you're this person, then who's Jane, da 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 da. You know, and then it's clear that I've been looking them up during the whole dinner.
Well, Seth, this has been going great so far. What's up next is 5 and 5. That's where Doug Mellard and Doug Benson, we've each written 5 questions specifically for you, Seth Herzog, and we will ask you those questions right after this break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back and we've got 5 and 5 questions written for Seth Herzog. They were written, all these questions were written in Doug Nation. Get it? In Doug Nation?
Oh, I get it. I get it now. It took me a while.
Yeah. We do it ourselves. We don't farm this work out. We write these questions. But first...
Is this like taking the fifth?
Oh, that would be another... that would be a name for it.
Yeah, but that's what's his name has that on his show. Andy Cohen.
Oh, he says... Oh, and then they have the right to take the fifth to any of the questions that are
They have. He asked them 3 things that are controversial, and they can only plead the fifth on one.
Okay, so we're not going to do that then.
Yeah.
But that is kind of fun.
All of ours are controversial, so
you can't pass on you can't take the fifth on any of them, but you could certainly, you know, avoid it or tell us why you don't want to answer. You know,
right.
All right. But first, before we do that, one more little thing we need you to do. We need you to
eat some leftovers.
Last episode we had on a great guest, a comedian, Ngaio Bilum was on, and we didn't get to, we talked so much in the first part of the show that we didn't get to any of his questions. So if you don't mind, Seth, we would like you can answer them any way you'd like, as him, as yourself, as both, but can we just, since we wrote these questions, can we ask you the questions that we had for him?
I would love it. Let's ask me guys questions. I'll answer them as accurate as I can.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever met Ngaio, but he's a African-American comedian who's a very big weed advocate. He lives out in California, and he's a good friend of mine in the show. And let's just go ahead and ask you what we were going to ask him. Go ahead. So, Doug Miller, you go first. First question for Ungayo Bila.
So he kind of answered this, so I thought about scratching it, but I'd like to hear Seth's answer for him. Okay. And then here.
Okay.
So here's a question. How does one get into juggling?
You know what's funny? I'm glad you asked that. You have to be named Doug and spend a lot of time alone. How do you get into juggling? I feel like that's one of those things you do as a kid just to see if you could do it. And then if you get good at it within the first hour, you keep it up.
Well, first hour, you got to commit that.
If you're not good at it immediately, everyone bails. But if you feel like you picked it up pretty quickly, then you get excited and confident and you keep going.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
Frustrated pretty quickly if you suck.
I agree. I agree with that 1 hour. I agree with that. Like, you know what I mean? That's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of starter commitment you need. Cause if 1 hour of trying to get it down is like so frustrating that you don't want to proceed, then it's time to get out, because it takes hours and hours and hours to get like very comfortable at it. Like I can keep three balls in the air for like, you know, 10 or 15 seconds. Like I've gotten that far, but you know, I've never committed to really taking the time.
Right.
And then also, even when you get good at it, what are you going to do with it? Like, you know, unless you step it up and learn to do something that's even harder than just keeping four or five balls in the air, then you're just going to be boring compared to all the amazing jugglers that are out there.
True.
What's funny, Clark McFarlane, who's a big juggler, was a childhood friend of mine. And he was known in school as just like the kid who juggles, because that was his thing. And he did it really well. And now he hosts like a big burlesque show in Paris or something. And like juggling is part of his bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Cause that's also what's fun about Ungayo, is that like, he's an excellent juggler, but like he doesn't, you know, that's not his closer every time he does stand up. Like he only whips it out. Like he told us last week or, you know, on the last show, he told us that he only does it if the crowd is really great or really terrible.
I'd love to have a talent like that where you could pull it out without prep. Like, I'm just going to do it or not do it and see how the night goes, you know?
Yes, but then he did point out that you can't just do it without prep, because you got to carry those fucking pins or balls or whatever it is you're going to juggle. Because you got to be pretty amazing, just pick up five glasses off of people's tables and juggle those or something.
That's true.
Yeah, they don't. I want to see that. Why doesn't a juggler ever juggle a bunch of glass items?
Here's the thing.
I know they like to do the chainsaws, but I think glass would be just as scary, because if any two of the balls or items hit each other, then suddenly you got shards of glass flying everywhere.
If I was a juggler, I'd plant plastic ones on tables before the show and make it
there you go,
spontaneous.
Yeah, but that sort of thing gets you killed.
I love it. You think it's like 1845 and everyone's got a gun. they're gonna shoot him if he's cheating.
I just meant somebody's gonna know. You have to tell somebody's gonna accidentally swap out that plastic one with the dangerous one. I'm just saying.
I thought you meant everyone in the audience is like, he's cheating.
All right. That was a great first question for Ungayo. Yeah. My first question for Ungayo is, what's harder to juggle, family, career, or six balls at once?
I'm going to say family, career, because the six balls at once, you can stop doing that whenever you want. You can't ever stop trying to juggle your family, your career. It's just nonstop. You wake up, it's happening. You have to do it.
Right.
You know, I think that's harder. Plus you're not dealing with people's expectations when you're juggling six balls. Like when you're juggling family and career, you have expectations from like the public. You have expectations of yourself, your wife, your kids. You got to like, people want you to do stuff you don't want to do. Like there's a lot more factors.
How do you like divide up your time with the twins? Because I know both of you are busy, right?
Yeah, we have people for that.
Ah, I love it.
That's how we do that. Yeah. Like a modern couple, we have someone else raise our kids.
Yeah. But you got to work hard to raise the kind of money to do that.
There's a whole process with that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a terrific answer. I feel like he would definitely, I think Ngaio would have said six balls, because he told us during the show that he can't juggle six balls.
Oh, really?
And he is juggling career and family. He is doing that. So
he's doing a good job.
At yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. That's my opinion. All right, Doug, go ahead. Give him your next question.
What was a possible hip hop influence for your hip hop group, The Most Chill Slack Mob?
We had a lot of influence for The Most Chill Slacks. I'd say EPMD was a huge influence on us. Especially that first line of relax your mind and let your conscience be free and get down to the sounds of EPMD. That whole vibe of like sleepy rap was very important to us and who we became.
I wish you could really hear Most Chill Slack Mob, because your answer is pretty accurate.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I bet. Cause like that's a genre. Sleepy rap is a genre rap no one talks about.
it's definitely sleepy, because he's got really just a really smooth voice. I went to go see him a lot. It's just one of those bands that was put together, and I thought they were great, and you know, they were all friends of mine, and then it just never really took off. But just also like the name Most Chill Slack Mob, that sounds kind of corny, but it was long enough ago that it was a cool name.
93?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it was in the 90s, that name was much better. Plus also they were really cool. It was fun. I was like friends with the drummer.
Right.
And they had a drummer, you know what I mean? It was a band, right. It was an act with rapping, but they had musicians, you know, they had instruments. So I really liked them a lot. And
it seems like, is it Us Three?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The jazzy kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like that's what it'd be like Us Three or Diggable Planets or that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Very Diggable
like
Planets.
Jazzy rap. Yeah.
Yeah. One time, Tony Kameen and I were doing stand up in Chicago at a club, and, Diggable Planets, that song was, you couldn't avoid it. You hear it everywhere. And so we were like, yeah, let's go see Diggable Planets after our show tonight. You know, they're playing at some club, and, how there's like some pretty long ass streets in Chicago that, if you're going to the wrong end of the street, you're like, it's an hour. So we had a cab driver take us to the wrong end of, whatever street it was we were trying to, cause there was no GPSing and shit, cab drivers are supposed to know where they were going. Right. And, anyway, so we absolutely missed a Diggable Planets show.
No.
So that's my Diggable Planets memory, is I had the chance to see them live. Didn't. And then they didn't have any more hit songs anyway. Is that the twins?
The twins are here. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. You guys want to say hi?
Here. Oh my God. The twins. Hi.
Hi.
This is Savan. Say hi.
Hi.
This is Kieran.
Hi.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello. What do you guys, can you say podcast?
Can you guys say Wide World of Dougs?
I want to say hi.
Can you say Wide World of Dougs?
Wide World of
Dougs. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it's called.
Yep. They said Wide World of Dougs.
Yeah, that's great. We'll use that soundbite for sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's a nice drop to have. So now, what are they gonna? Will we hear them now from now on? Or
no, they're being ushered out of the room.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I mean, not that I don't like hearing from them. That was fun.
Yeah,
by security, they're being taken out.
Hold on. Yeah. What do you want to say, Kieran? What do you want to say? What? Okay. Oh, she wants me. She put
her
finger
in her. Did she get her boobs done again?
This, she did not get her boobs done. She got her. She put her fingers in her bottom, and she wants me to smell them.
No. She's already trying out stand up fits.
Yeah. She really wants everyone to smell her fingers.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We have another question. They ran out of the room. Okay.
Well, that's all right. My closer, by the way. I just stick my fingers up there
and just smell my fingers. Yeah.
Good night.
You just go around the crowd till somebody does it. And that's,
that would be a pretty funny way to end the show. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Here they come.
Oh, they're coming back?
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to ask? Well, Karen's just going to watch.
Oh, okay. I was going to say to Ungayo Bilam, would you consider marrying a woman whose last initial is A, taking her name, and then your initials would be NBA?
That would be amazing. I would do that in a second.
That doesn't even make sense. Why would, I guess it would be, his initials would be NBA, but he'd still have a middle initial that would screw it up.
Yeah.
EBA. Yeah. It'd be funny if it was a W, if his middle name was W.
And WBA? Or just the fact that his initials are NA is kind of funny.
Yeah. Right? Not applicable.
Yeah, or Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, that was a dumb question. I'm glad I didn't ask Ungayo that. All right, so we have a few more minutes, Doug. Do you have give him another one?
We have another thing you want to ask?
Yeah. Favorite form of edible?
Favorite form of edible?
Should you be talking about this in front of the 2-year-old?
Nah, it's okay. Brownie, because who doesn't love a brownie?
That's true. That's hard to
right?
Yeah.
I will say the only time I've ever had really strong brownies was at George Lopez has a pot party in LA every year. Yeah, called Who Weed in My Pool.
No way.
He makes t-shirts. There's like t-shirts and stuff. It's like a whole thing. It's a band.
I've never been invited to this.
Yeah, I happened to be in LA and I knew someone who worked on his TV show and they brought me over.
Oh, this has to happen.
It's a pretty fun party. There's like lots of food and anyway, they had like people in chef's outfits like walking around with like trays of brownie bites and stuff, you know. I don't even know if I should be talking about this on podcast.
That's amazing. Well, he made shirts.
He made shirts. It's true. I do have a shirt.
Yeah. So. Hey, keep this weed party on the down low. Here's the shirt.
Yeah. So, I had one brownie bite, a single brownie bite, and it didn't hit me until hours later as I was driving home and brain blew up. Like my brain exploded. As
one
I'm driving
bite.
Home, one bite of one brownie bite. Yes.
Yeah, being too high on an edible kicking in while you're driving is really an interesting experience.
I've never concentrated so much in my life.
Yeah. I had a similar experience where it was the same thing. One bite. They didn't tell me it was a pot cookie until I had taken a bite. But I figured one bite at the time. I wasn't really doing any weed or anything. I figured I can handle one bite, but it was the same thing where it was like an hour later it kicked in and I had 0.6 miles to go to get home, but I could not figure out those 0.6 miles. It was impossible. It was so hard.
Yeah, God. It's tough. I almost had to pull over, but I was like, if I did, I'd wait for 7 hours. Like who knows how long I'd wait for.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're up.
Okay. Ungayo, you are the judge on Cooking on High on Netflix. Were you also the jury and executioner?
Oh my God. The answer is yes. Almost every single person who's on that show is now dead.
All right, good. That was an easy one. Your turn, Doug.
That's a wild show. I got to check this out.
Hurry, let's get through these.
All right. Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh.
Star Wars.
Is that Ungayo or are you saying that?
I don't know how he feels about stuff.
I feel he's more Star Trek, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's more live long and prosper. But I could watch a Star Wars at any time.
Yeah, I like your
Star Trek. I just don't know the lore enough of all the different genres and shows.
Yeah, there's so much more Star Trek because of all the series and they even made more movies. Maybe not more movies than Star Wars.
Like the same group of characters almost in all of them. Well, Star Trek, every iteration has like a different group of characters.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
they don't mention, they don't mention the captains of previous ships that often.
No, I mean, maybe they do. Yeah. I don't know. I don't watch
every move, every Star Wars. It's Skywalker, this Skywalker, that. And nobody stops and goes, isn't it ironic or weird or just plain unusual that a kid that ends up being a pilot was born with the last name Skywalker? What a wild thing. Okay. Ungayo, how high are you right now? How high are you right now on a scale of 1 to 2 high?
High.
Perfect. Doug, I think we have time for like one more Ungayo question.
All right. Let's do corgis versus labs versus bulldogs.
Oh, three-wayer.
Wow. Okay. Bulldog's going to win every time.
Wow, really? Cool. I figured
a lot of especially in a fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean an actual fight.
I want to see them fight.
Yeah, you did say versus.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe if they did like a wrap off, the corgi might win.
But what's the first? Fight, what's the first rule of Dog Fight Club?
Bring snacks.
I'm sorry to say this, Seth, but we ran out of time. We're not going to get to your questions.
Oh man.
Yeah, we wrote all these questions for you, but I guess we'll just have to ask the guest on the next show.
Ask the next guy. I can't wait to see who that is and what they say.
Yeah, could be a guy, could be a gal.
Could be someone who doesn't know me at all.
Yeah, maybe a band. I don't know. But before we go, let's do Doug plugs.
Okay.
Which is, tell us what you've got. Plug it up, Seth.
Well, you guys could see Boy Band. It's a movie I did that came out last year on Amazon. Very funny film with Steve Agee and Dave Hill and Jordan Carlos, plus cameos with Questlove and Jerry O'Connell and Gilbert Gottfried. And
you're in a movie with King Shark?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Steve Agee was the on-set King Shark on The Suicide Squad opening tonight.
Yes, he wasn't the voice. He was just in the costume.
Yeah, and he also plays another character where you actually see him and hear his voice.
Oh, good, good, good.
I don't know the name of that character.
Oh, good. I'm glad. What else? So if you're in New York City, I'm doing a sweet show at the Chelsea Music Hall on August 17th with Dave Cross and a bunch of other people. It should be really fun.
Cool.
And you can find me online, Seth Zog on Instagram and The Zog on Twitter.
That's terrific. That was, you were a great guest, Seth Herzog. Can I confirm you right now for 12 guests of Christmas at the Gramercy Theater?
If we do it, I will 100% be there.
On Sunday, November 28th.
If we do it, I will 100% be there. Even
if it happens, you'll be a part of it.
Yes.
It's your brother's birthday?
The 28th, yes, but I will.
You can get out of your brother's birthday to do this?
I bet he won't be having a party.
Oh, okay. obviously with all gigs, the doing it as safely as possible is definitely the plan. So if the show happens, I'm excited to say that one of the 12 guests will be Seth. San Antonio this weekend, me and Doug Mellor, 2 shows. Sacramento, Sacramento Punchlines, where I'm going to be August 14th. Helium in Indianapolis on August 28th. Helium, of course, is a gas. And Rosemont, Illinois, Zanies on September 12th. DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates. Doug Mellor, what do you got to plug?
Again, I'll be there with you this weekend, Doug's Three, and then Glow Show at the Ballroom in Austin, 818, and then September 9th through the 11th at the Philly Punchline.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I just remembered another plug. Doug Millard's going to be September 9th through the 11th. He's going to be at the Philly Punchline.
Thanks.
I mean, you did that for me, so I might as well do it for you. thanks for listening, everybody. Oh shit! I've I didn't ever have a Doug pun come up during the course of the episode that we can use for the title.
Oof.
So we're just going to call it. Thanks again, Seth Herzog. And as always, out of Doug puns.